الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهداه. ما بعد, dear brothers and sisters, we all know the grace, the ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon us, that Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon us with regard to this guidance that Allah Ta'ala provided us. First to Islam, second to practicing, third to the Prophet Manhaj, the theology of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba and the students of the Sahaba and the Prophet scholars. And fourth, the ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon us by the Hajj and what it caused from the forgiveness of the sins of all the previous sins, as well as for those who did not perform Hajj but performed fasting on the day of Arafah, that Allah Ta'ala provides them forgiveness for all the sins of the previous year and the running year. These are ni'am, graces from Allah Ta'ala that we need to thank Him Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for. We need to thank Allah Ta'ala by our hearts, believe, the brother believe. We need to thank Allah Ta'ala by our tongues, by speaking about the ni'am that Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon us. We have to thank Allah with our actions, by setting up ourselves on the right manhaj, the proper manhaj, the manhaj, the methodology of the Quran and the Sunnah. That is the manhaj that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us upon, as he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith sahih, تركتكم على بيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. I left you upon a very wide and clear way that no one would be missed except one whom going to Ashway. And he صلى الله عليه وسلم describe that by saying, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَن تَظِلُّوا بَعْدِي أَبَدًا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِي وَلَن يَتَفَرَّقَ حَتَّى يَرِدَ عَلِيَّ الْحَوْضِ. I've lived amongst you, what if you hold and grasp, you would not be misled or misguided. The Book of Allah and my Sunnah, and they both would never be found separated until they come before me to my lake in the Day of Resurrection. So dear brothers and sisters, the only way to thank Allah Ta'ala is to obey Him. Now, so dear brothers and sisters, Allah Ta'ala gave us all these ni'am, grace from Him Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, for nothing but to obey Him, to follow His messengers, to grasp on the brother aqidah, the brother belief. And this is the only way to survive in this life and in the hereafter. So, brothers and sisters, fear Allah of your health. Fear Allah of your wealth. Fear Allah of your family. Fear Allah of the guidance that He subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. not to take it back from you, and then you find no one to guide you. May Allah Ta'ala keep us all upon the right path, guidance, and the Quran and Sunnah. Wallahu A'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا. First question is, how is the ruling of a human bad being immune or having immune vaccination? Because some of the vaccines ingredients is haram, such as pig, blood, human or animal body parts. And then the person gave example, which has mentioned ingredients like chicken pox and DPT. Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Ya Sheikh Zahid.
Naam, yes.
الصوت كان غير واضح بالنسبة لي فلو تعيد السؤال.
نعم.
كنت واضح على السبيكر حتى يسمع الإخوة في الإنترنت.
طيب. Okay. The question is about the immunization, about vaccination. Some of the ingredients in vaccines are haram, such as pigs, blood, human or animal body parts. And then some examples were given which has mentioned ingredients like chicken pox and DPT. So is it okay? And what is the ruling about the such vaccinations? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah. You all hear the question, it's about the vaccination. Is it permissible or not? Generally, the Islam came to protect the body, the soul, the will, the mind, the heart. And as for that, the saying, which is well known, al-wiqayatu khayrun min al-ilaj. Protection is better than treatment. And vaccination is one way of protection. And Islam is calling for that. As we all know, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there were no vaccination, but there were some ways of protection. Like, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or like the band. The band, or what they call, like for example, the cantina. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa said, لا يورد ممرض على مصح ولا مصح على ممرض. Ill person should not come to the non-ill person. So, the healthy one, and the healthy should not come to the L one. So to control the spread of the disease. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا كَانَ الطَّاعُونُ بِأَرْضِ قَوْمٍ فَلَا تَدْخُلُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا. If the disease is in a land, you should not enter if you are out of it, and you should not exit or come out of it if you are inside it. Even if you are not ill, because you may carry the disease or the virus. From that, the ulama found in these days when the science found very advanced, and they found some ways of protection like vaccination. They said that vaccination is permissible, as it is a way to protect mankind. Wallahu a'lam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum, mubarak Allahu feekum. The next question is about having a ring in nose. The sister asked, I would like to know if it is permissible to pierce nose in order to be pretty.
الشيخ زايد أعطيني ثواني بس واعد عليه السؤال دقيقة بس. عفوا الشيخ زايد. The sister is asking about the ruling of having ring in the nose. Well, Allah تعالى said, أَوَمَنْ يُنَشَّأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينِ. That person who's been raised up and grow up in the jewelry or beauty of jewelry and others, while this person is not seen and where people are arguing and running business, which is the market. So Allah Ta'ala described the woman and attributed her as someone who enjoys jewelry. And perhaps jewelry, including gold, is allowed for the Muslim woman. It's permissible for Muslim woman. But it is not permissible if it is an imitating of the kuffar, the non-Muslims, or the fissar, the people of deviants and people of or the sinners. But if it is something common, then it is permissible. And as we know that the earrings and bracelets and the like are common jewelry between all women of the world, Muslims and non-Muslims. And as for the nose, or the ring in the nose, is not known as the Muslim woman jewelry, and that's why some of the ulama say that it is not permissible for a Muslim woman to make a hole in the nose and put the ring into it. Unless if it is a clamp ring, which they can clamp it without hauling, then that is permissible. Then that is permissible. Wallahu a'lam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. Next question is from a sister who says, my husband has had drug problem in past. One day he was very high. We got into a very bad argument that resulted in a pronouncement of divorce. He thought that he would have made it our third time. However, I am positive that he only made it two pronouncements, meaning he only said, give me talaq twice. Now he said that he wanted to make sure that we were not violating the Sharia, so I was asked to leave home until we got a ruling.
Alhamdulillah, in regard to talaq issues, if you are in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, would have said you have to see the Mufti. But as long as you are remote, then we say you better contact me either through the telephone or my website or the email and for all, so I can talk to the man and woman and hear from them, and then I may need to raise it to the Mufti and written and bring it to you. That's my answer to this. Wallahu a'lam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. Next question from a brother who says, if a person has a speech impediment and stutters, and his recitation in Salah, including Surah Fatiha, does not come out good, and he stammers and may get stuck on certain words and prolong others, and his khushu may be afflicted due to his speech impediment also. Is his salah valid and or deficient? What should the person do with this type of problem? Are there any ayat or hadith or fatwa regarding the person with the speech stuttering problem? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Those people who cannot speak well, if they try sincerely and seriously to do the worship as best as they can, Allah Ta'ala is going to reward them twice, as in the hadith, المهر بالقرآن مع الكرام السفرة والذي يقرأ القرآن ويتتعتع فيه وهو عليه شاق فله أجران. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying that the one who recites Quran fluently and correctly and nicely will come يوم القيامة in the day of resurrection along with the angels. But for that one who recites the Quran very difficultly and cannot recite it well, cannot pronounce it well, but he is trying and trying his best, then he would have a double reward. And from that we know that this person, the brother of this sister who raised the question, is not in sin, because he does not intend to do so, it's accidentally. So he would be, inshallah ta'ala, not only rewarded, but he would be rewarded, a double reward, for his difficult trying in recitation and khushu' in salah, and in regard the dua or ayat or ruqya. Yes, there are ad'iya, there are dua and ruqya to be, yeah, inshallah, said and held. And from this is the dua that Musa alayhi salam used to ask Allah or to submit Allah with. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So if the one, if the person asks Allah like what Musa alayhi salam did, to make his tongue fluent and give him khushu', Allah Ta'ala will give him that بِإِذْنِهِ Ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. Next question is from a brother who says, I took a loan, interest-based loan for college, and now I regret it and I know I made a mistake. However, I would like to go to the next Al-Basira seminar with the scholars, and I don't have full amount of money. Is it must on me to pay for the loan, or should I go and register? This is the summary of the question. That he took a loan based upon interest for his college, and now he regrets it, and he would like to benefit and take advantage of Al-Basira program with the scholars in summer. So what should he do first? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Naam, in regard to this interest loan that he got for scholarship to study in the college, and now he is planning to go with Al-Basira conference abroad in Saudi, it seems, I don't know. But in regard to this, we say if the amount of money you are going to use to attend Al-Basira conference in Mecca and to meet scholars and learn your deen, if this amount of money you are going to use can be the final payment of your interest loan, and you will have no any interest loan after that, and you will pay all, then you first of all should get rid of the interest loan, and inshallah ta'ala, the next year, the following year, you can come with them with the halal money. But if in case that you still have a couple of years to finish, and this amount that you are going to spend on your journey to see the ulama and learn from them is not going to make a big difference, and these people are not going to cause you a problem by not paying it, or if it is not going to accumulate interest, then yes, go to attend the conference of Al-Basira and meet the ulama and be serious in seeking the knowledge in that journey, and may Allah Ta'ala bless you and help you to get rid of that interest loan. Wallahu a'lam.
Ahsan Allahu alaykum wa barakallahu feekum. And I would also like to mention a few things here. One, that alhamdulillah, all of our seminars are absolutely free. We don't charge anything for our services. You would only required to pay for your fare and perhaps accommodations. Even that, we are willing to help our brothers and sisters. So brother, if you are so much interested and alhamdulillah you are serious about seeking knowledge, we will do our best to either give you scholarship, make your trip 100% free, or work with you for your deadlines. And inshallah ta'ala, we will work with you. The money is the last thing we will ask about. Money is the last thing we will be worried about. And we would hate to see money coming between you and the scholars. So please contact us, and we will be more than happy to assist you in this and similar situations, inshallah. And the tawfiq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, we would like to inform you that starting next week, we will be starting intensive courses with the scholars, inshallah. We will be starting Aqidah course, Tafsir course, and Fiqh course starting next week, starting New Year, inshallah ta'ala. So you can also benefit from those courses without even paying a penny. Naam. So all the services are made available, and may Allah reward you for your intention. Now to the question, next question, can a husband lead his wife in prayer when he does not know some parts of the prayer, such as tashahhud, while his wife knows all of its parts? Meaning wife, she knows all of the salah, and the husband, he may not know all of it. So in this situation, can a husband lead the salah? Also, where does she stand in prayer with him? Should she stand behind him or to the right or next to him? Afiduna, barakallahu feekum.
Alhamdulillah. In regard to this husband who does not know some parts of the prayer, and the question was, can he lead his wife in the prayer and where she stands? And she said that the wife knows more than the husband of the prayer. First of all, it is obligatory upon the men to pray the obligatory prayers in the masjid where it's called and raised. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that does not mean necessarily hear the adhan and then go. They say that if he lives or he's available in a distance that can allows him to hear the adhan if the muadzin raised it from the masjid, above the masjid. So if he lives in such distance, then he has to go to the masjid. If, for example, he lives in a remote area where even if the muadzin climbed the roof of the masjid and called, and he cannot hear or he made a prayer and now he wants to pray the wife first. The ulama is on the jama'ah with the wife, but the proper opinion that the jama'ah is also yani is to be held by a man and woman. No problem with that, because the Prophet ﷺ lived a woman, and he never said that this jama'ah. The thing in regard to this, whatsoever the woman cannot lead, even if the woman is very high scholar and the man is ignorant, he is the one who leads the salah. The man is the one who leads the salah. Cannot lead the salah, even if he is in salah. And his, the knowledge of salah is for him. And she does the way yani it should be. Her salah is correct and right. His salah is also correct and right. So he is doing his best. But besides that, he needs to learn. And she has to teach him. There is no shame for man to have a wife. Last thing about this question is where women stand in jama'ah prayer with men. Whether in maharim or not maharim, relatives or relatives whatsoever. If there is only a woman, the woman stands behind the man. A child and a woman, the child is son of the imam, right side of the imam, and the woman at the back side. If there is a man, the imam, plus a man and a child, the woman, the man and the child will be at the back of the imam, and the woman should be at the back of the
The next question is from a sister who says, a friend of mine is now 18 and she wants to get married, but she does not want her father to be involved in her marriage or be her wali. Her father molested her as a child, so she was wondering, what should she do? Should she cut relation with him? Would that be forbidden? She does not contact him at all, and is that okay to do? She hates to speak to him because she remembers the things he did. He acts as if nothing happened. And also he does not pray and does a lot of haram. So she asked for your nasiha. Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Again, Ya Sheikh, this daughter is a legitimate daughter of this man, or it's not?
Allahu a'lam. This is exactly what is mentioned in the question.
Okay, we will answer as it's both. Now, it is well known that in the West there are a lot of wrong relations that produce a pregnancy and children. These children which come out of illegitimate relations are not considered to be children of that man and should not take his name. But at the same time, they cannot marry to any child that is a son of that man for protection. And if in case this woman, which is now 18 years of her age, is an illegitimate daughter of that man, then she needs to know that he has no right upon her. He has no right, and she should not act as a daughter for him. And so he is not wali, and she should not respond to him in any way. If she responded to him nicely as a Muslim, that's a different thing, but not as a father. And she can marry without him being the wali or even attending the marriage. That's if the daughter is a legitimate daughter. But if she is a legitimate daughter out of contract of marriage between the man and woman, and he just ignored them and left them, and they did not know anything about him, or he did not even take care of the daughter, then we say this would be one of two. Firstly, somebody who did not take care of his family, and he just looked after himself and enjoyed, maybe married another wife, or he just enjoyed somehow, and left the mother and the daughter without care from him. Then we say, this man, if he returns back to act as a father, a responsible father, then we say she has to obey him and have good relation with him as a daughter to a father, and she cannot marry except with his permission, and he to be the wali. But if this person did not take care of her and continue to be so until now, then he is still a father, but he has no rights. He has no rights other than the good relation. But if she wants to marry, she can take other wali, like her uncle, his brother, or his father, or her mother's brother or father, but she has to have a wali from amongst the maharim. If she has no maharim who are Muslims, or the maharim refuse to act as wali, then she takes the, if she's living in a Muslim land. Now, we said that if this father is a legitimate father, then he is one of two persons. One, or we said that if he is a legitimate father, that he did not take care of his daughter since she was born until now, then he is one of two fathers. A father who returned back, now realizes responsibility, and understand and return from his sense that of mistake that he committed by abandoning his family, and now he returns. Then we say he has to have full rights. He is the wali. He is the father that should be respected, and she has to deal with him very respectfully. But if he is a father who abandoned them since she was a little girl, and now when she is a woman, he's still ignoring them, then the ulama says that he has no right upon this girl except for the good relations in dunya and his right of wilaya has gone because he did not take care of this girl, but she has to take a wali from amongst the maharim, like her uncle or brothers or whatsoever. That's in regard to this question, Allahu A'lam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. And this is the last question for today's session, inshallah. Question is about filming and videotaping. What is the ruling on filming and videotaping? And in which cases it is permissible? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Well, in regard to filming or videotaping, let us go back to the original form of this, which is photographing or taking photographing. The ulama have different opinion in that. And the reason that they have different opinion is that the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُصَوِّرِينَ. The curse of Allah is upon the ones, the musawwirin. Now, the word musawwirin in Arabic originally means those who either paint, the distance was painting due to painting pictures of, they paint pictures of living existence like mankind or animals. This was the original surah. But today's Arab, when they saw the camera and how it projects pictures and photos, they named it, they named the photo surah. And they photograph a musawwir. And to my understanding, this is wrong. And they even call, for example, the photocopier, the Xerox machine, they say surah, which is not surah, which is a copy or nuskha in Arabic. But the problem came from that area. And that's why some of the ulama said that photograph is haram. And the one who takes photographs is cursed as in the hadith. As some other ulama, like Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, who looked into the issue very deeply, came up with that this is not a surah that is meant by the hadith. This is only holding the shade of the image, of the figure, like a mirror. So they say this is not haram, not forbidden. But they advise not to go for it if not needed. But yet they said it is not the surah that is meant in the hadith. Now, some other ulama also named the one who videotaped as musawwir. As musawwir. And they say this is even worse because you can see man or animal walking and etc. And perhaps this is, to me, is not the proper opinion from amongst the opinions of the scholars. The proper opinion is that this is not surah, and the one who videotape or film, making film, is not musawwir. Even if the Arabs of today call him musawwir, wallahu a'lam, if the Arabs of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are alive, they may not call this thing musawwir, because musawwir, the Arabic language is very specific. It's more specific than English. And in English we have painter, and we have photographer, And we have also the video, what we call video filming or video taping. So they, in English they have different names for it. In Arabic, it is more specific than any other language. So because the Arabs, the first Arabs did not see this, they did not give it a name. But the Arabs of today, when they saw this, they named it as Surah al-Musawwir, and then they implemented the Hadith on this, the ruling of the Hadith on this, and they said, the curse is upon the one who is doing so and so. And that, to me, is wrong, and Allah knows this. This is the end of our session today. جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ زاهد and جزا الله خيرا البصيرة that all and جزا الله خيرا all those who were with us in this session جزاكم الله خيرا all والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته And جزاكم الله خيرا كذلك. First of all, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us a tawfiq. And after thanking Allah, we thank our honorable Sheikh for making himself available for such a short notice and answering the question. جزاكم الله خيرا. And of course, we thank every single one of you all as well for coming today, for gathering today, and for listening the lecture either by attending in the masjid or through Taltalk or through directly from our website. And as we said, Alhamdulillah, starting next week, inshallah, we will be starting 3 intensive courses, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, in Aqeedah. We will be starting Aqeedah Tahawiyah, in Aqeedah. And for Tafsir, we will be starting from Tafsir Suratul Baqarah. And that will be only in Arabic without any translation for those who understand Arabic and who would like to benefit from this intensive course. And thirdly, we will be resuming our classes back again for the fiqh course, inshallah. Please visit our website, www.albasira.org, for more detailed information, which will be posted hopefully today or tomorrow. Thank you very much once again. And until next time, nasta'inukum Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.